You're listening to The Cultural Hall with your hosts, Richie T. Stedman and Ashley Garvey Smith. It's a show about Mormon stuff.
Nephi! Ella! Samuel! Do you stand at the live righteously?
So it's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. Episode 35, we're going to be visiting with single moms.
Yes, this is a good one.
Yeah, you will love this. Single moms of all kinds. We got your divorced moms and then your moms who have never been married but decided, made the choice to be a single mom.
Right.
So make sure you listen to the second and third block as we visit with them. That's coming up in just a couple minutes. Got this email.
All right.
This came in from Richie at theculturalhall.com, or you can just go to theculturalhall.com and go to contact us.
Does it go to the same place?
It all goes to the same place.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Paul White.
All right.
He says, "Hey, Richie, I am caught up on the Cultural Hall podcast, and I have a question for you. What happened with Lauren?" To which I'll respond, "She's no longer a part of this podcast." You may have said that about you may have said more about it in one of the podcasts. He says, "I speed through them and have skipped a couple of the articles of news ones, so forgive me if it's explained." It is. He says, "I look forward to you discussing your journey in faith." And then he, in parentheses, says, "I really liked the Michael B. one," which was episode 29. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that one, that's a really great episode where Michael B. talks about how he kind of fell from grace and is making his way back. So he says that he goes on to say, "Sad that people want to spend time judging others or worrying about being judged, yet it seems to be human nature. If you have not heard What If I Stumble by DC Talk, you should check it out. It's a great song about that issue. I've not taken a chance to listen to that, but recommendation from Paul White. I don't mind sharing that with you without checking it out because I trust him.
Okay.
So it's a great song. It's called What If I Stumble by DC Talk. And then this is the part that I want to point out about this email. He says, "While I may be a cradle Catholic, I guess I am a lifer for Cultural Hall purposes."
Wow.
So not even a Mormon guy who has listened now to all of the podcasts and terms himself a lifer. Now, we've explained this before, but it's worth probably explaining again. If you've gone back and listened to all of the podcasts, all of the Cultural Hall, back to episode one from last year, and then get caught up to this episode, episode 35, well, then you consider yourself a lifer. So anytime you get in contact with us, say, "Hey, this is Brandy, whatever, I'm a lifer."
Right.
But if you've only come in kind of halfway, coming in at intermission, coming in halftime, third quarter, I don't know what that was, but you then would be a convert. So please address yourself as such.
A convert since the blank episode.
Right. So if you came in on, he mentions the Michael B. episode, you'd say, "I'm a convert since the Michael B. episode," and then whatever your message is to us, make sure that you include it so we can get kind of an idea if people are listening to all of them, some of them, which your favorites are and that kind of stuff.
Well, my question is, why wouldn't you want to go back and listen to all the episodes? You might as well, if you're going to be a convert, just become a lifer. Go back and listen to all the episodes. They're all good. I have. I've listened to every single one
Every single one?
I have listened to every single one.
You know, I think I was a part of every single one and I don't think I've listened to every single
one. Well, because you're a part of every,
but I don't know that I was listening in every single one.
Sometimes I'm not listening either when I'm here.
yeah, it goes back to when Lauren and I started it forever and ever ago. And I think it's really fun in about the first five episodes to hear how we go from, so I guess we'll do this now, to, and now we're going to do this, and then we'll do this, and then we'll do this. So, and some of most of the episodes that people say are their favorite are some of those really early ones.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people really like Kirby Hayborn.
Yeah.
That's episode two. And then Jenna Kim Jones, episode three. And she'll be on with us again. For people who love the Jenna Kim Jones, she'll be on with us again here in a little while. She'll
be in
Utah.
Love that.
So
yeah,
we'll get to visit with her and check in. She's since got engaged since we talked to her.
So
we'll be able to
her.
Kind of find out how life is going.
Who wouldn't want to be engaged to her?
Right?
I know.
She writes for The Daily Show, for those who don't know, and she's a Mormon. She was part of that I'm a Mormon campaign on billboards, and she had a little clip, little video thing.
Yes, she did.
For her. I didn't. Did you get one?
I didn't get one.
Yeah.
Brandon Flowers got one.
Yeah. Not us.
Who's he?
Yeah. Well, he's the lead singer of a really good band.
Oh, okay.
And a great solo artist, too.
Yeah, he is.
Right?
That's true.
So, yeah, check him out and share us with your friends, even your non-member friends.
Your Catholic friends.
Yeah.
Your Baptist friends.
Protestants would love it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, you don't know. There might be some Protestants that would really hate it,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Jewish people. We could go
we could do that.
Anyone.
Yep.
Not partial to it. Not partial to, I don't know. However that makes sense so that you share it with your friends. That's what I meant. That's what I was going for. We hope that they're partial to it. Yeah. Right?
Right.
Yeah, that's English. All right. So coming up, we've got this panel. We take questions from all of you guys who listen to the Cultural Hall. We share it with them. It's single moms here in the second and third block of episode 35 of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
All right, welcome back. It is the second block of the Cultural Hall, and, well, it's me, Richie T. And
Ashley Garby-Smith.
Don't forget the Garby.
Yes.
Her husband really likes that,
yeah,
when you include
it.
The maiden name in it. Does he really care?
He doesn't care. No, he really doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Does he care that I'm persistent about making sure that you use the Garby?
He might start to care.
If I keep doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
well, Ashley Garby-Smith. So the genesis of this episode of the Cultural Hall came from this email. We're going to be talking with single moms, and here was the email that we got from Jen. She says, where do I want to pick this up? During my inactivity, I drank, lived with boyfriends, have tattoos, did not obey the law of chastity, and ended up pregnant at 23. I decided to keep my child knowing that she would never meet her father and it would be all me forever. I got a good job, worked my way up in the company, and after 7.5 years, I lost my job. That was 8 months ago, and since then I've gone back to church, had missionaries come give my daughter and I the discussions to help integrate me back into the church and prepare for her baptism. She's received 2 callings in her family ward, found a new job, got her patriarchal blessing a few months ago, and decided to go back to school and get a degree. I haven't been this happy, Jen writes, in a long time, and what I thought was happiness back then really wasn't. She said, I feel like I could give an interesting perspective to everyone, and thought that an episode about single moms would be a great episode idea. So I said, Jen, would you be willing to be here with us? And she is. So, Jen, nice to have you here with us.
Thank you.
And other people we have around the table, we brought some other single moms in to give maybe a different perspective than that. We have across from me is Janae. And then I've lost my paper. Hang on one sec. See what I did?
Yep.
I wrote it down and then moved it. Then we have Claudine with us. And Amy, and then, of course, Ashley Garby-Smith. Did you hear that, Brother Smith? Ashley
Garby-Smith.
Yeah, thank you. So let's, we've kind of been introduced to you a little bit, Jen, but let's each take an opportunity to introduce yourself. Let's start with Janae. Talk about kind of your situation with being a single mom. You don't have to go into the nitty-gritty, but right. Kind of give us a background idea.
I have been single for about 8 years now. I'm raising 4 children. My oldest son is 17. My youngest daughter is 7. Two more girls in the middle of that. So, was divorced. I was married in the temple. Was divorced after 10 years of marriage. Been raising the kids by myself since. He was very involved when we were first divorced, but after an incident of abuse with his current wife,
An incident where he abused his current wife?
No, she abused him, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Which is interesting. Twist of fate. But since then, they have had no contact with their father since July of last year. So I also, good for you, Jen. Congratulations on.
Thanks.
I went back to nursing school a few years ago, just graduated with my RN, trying to find a job, a big girl job, and raising my kids in the church.
Cool. Claudine?
My name's Claudine. I've been divorced 3 years. I also have 4 children. I have 2 boys, 2 girls. The oldest is 14. The youngest is just about 7. I'm happily divorced. Happy to be divorced. And Jen, way to go.
Oh, thank you.
I have my degree in psychology and Native American studies. And
what do you do with a degree in psychology and Native American studies?
Right now, I'm a handyman.
Okay.
Right now, nothing.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes.
All right. Hi, I'm Amy. And I have been happily divorced for 3 years. I hate to say that, but you know what? I really have been. I was married in the temple, married for 12 and a half years, three beautiful kids, and got divorced. So it was a little bit rough at first. I think when you're married and you have kids in your 20s and then you get into your 30s and it's a wake-up call. I think you completely lose sight of who you are sometimes. And so it took me a while to go through these phases. And then same kind of thing, went back to school for a psychology degree and been working really hard and taking care of my kids full-time. A realtor. I mean, it's hard work, but you also, when you go through those phases, you learn a lot.
So let's start there. Happily divorced. Hold on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, temple marriage, right?
And
temple marriage, yeah.
Hallelujah.
So what's the deal? I mean, it's time. It's eternity. That's the deal. That's what we get in for. Why happily divorced? I guess we're just diving in a little bit more. Let's start here and work our way.
I say happily divorced because for a long time I fought it. I was felt really pressured to stay in my marriage because, you know, I'd made this big commitment, married in the temple, and for years I wanted out and just didn't know how to do it.
How come?
And because there were so many problems. First of all, I got married way too young.
How old?
19.
Mm-hmm.
19. Dated for 6 weeks, got engaged.
Wow.
And yeah, just not a good way to start off. And besides, at that point, you don't know who you are and wanted different things in life. And I think there's so much pressure to, you know, stay in that marriage and stay committed that you feel like you lose sight of who you are, and that's okay because you're doing the right thing, quote unquote, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that part of it's hard. And when you finally, you know, build up the guts. In fact, my sister told me one time, she goes, you know, I totally admire you because it takes a lot of guts to do what you did. And I did. And you know what? Ultimately, I've been a lot happier. My kids have been happier. You can get through it. I don't recommend divorce, but certainly, you know, I am a lot happier with who I am.
Yeah, and I'd say often I would not wish divorce on my worst enemy. It's not a happy thing. It's not pleasant, but there are times when it's necessary. I was married 11 years, and a lot of my marriage was very abusive, but I took it thinking that you follow through, you stick it through to the end, you persevere, you push forward. And I was just talking to someone the other day, and she said, how come you didn't end it before? And didn't your family know? I was living out of state. I didn't have family around. And when we would talk, it was, things are great. You know, how are the grandkids? How are this? And
oh, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. Everything's really good. And she said, why didn't you say anything? And I said, I didn't have the words. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the words to say, is this not okay? Is this normal? Is this not normal? Because I think being LDS, you grew up with this stigma of you stick it through and you make it work no matter what. Mm-hmm. And it took 2 years of building up to be able to say, okay, this is not okay. Mm-hmm. And after years of reinventing myself for what I thought he wanted, I finally decided it was time to find out who I was. And once the marriage ended, you know, I know that everything matters on me, and that's okay. I have no one else to count on, and you just make it work.
Exactly. I fully agree. I had a similar situation with some abuse in my home, and it was really, really difficult. I also married very young, which was 18.
Wow.
But, you know, we were both young and stupid, and I was in a broken place before that and healing, and, you know, he was the returned missionary that was supposed to know a lot more than I did, and and so he thought it was right, and I thought, okay, well, if that's right, then, you know, even if I have doubts, which I did, I knew marrying him that I shouldn't have, but I didn't trust myself enough to realize that that was really me knowing that I shouldn't be marrying him. So I married him to escape some things. He married me because he wanted to have sex, to be quite honest with you.
I think that
you know,
happens
because
a lot.
The returned missionary, he'd never had those experiences because you don't get to. And, I mean, maybe that's just a simplification. And,
sure.
You know, I know he loved me. But, and when things weren't the way he wanted them to be, it became degrading to me. To, you know, constantly, he didn't want to have anything to do with me romantically in any way, shape, or form, and he made me feel like it was my fault. And so, you know, the verbal and the emotional aspects of the abuse came out, and I spent 10 years saying, you know what, this is what I have to do, because then we got, you know, had children, and, you know, you don't marry thinking that you're going to divorce. You think everything's going to be fantastic, and I came from a home that my parents were divorced, and I didn't want to put my children through that. But, you know, at one point, my son came to me. He was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and he had drawn a picture of me, and it said the sad mom, and it had a picture of my face with big bags under my eyes and a big frown. And I just, you know, thought, if this is what my son sees in me, it's time to quit keeping this together for the children and start building myself up to live for myself and to, you know, and I'm not going to say I'm blameless in things. There were things that I could have done differently and better. I don't put this all on him.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't want anybody to think I'm accusing. But that's just, you know, where we were coming from. And I think we were both just incredibly unhappy the entire time. And it was time to move on and, you know, show my children how to have productive, healthy lives and hopefully relationships eventually and different things. So, sure.
But Jen, you kind of came into being a single mom a little differently in that
you found out,
hey, I'm pregnant.
Sure did.
Talk a little bit about that and then about the choice to do it, because where these women, you know, said, hey, I've got a husband, and then the next thing is, you know, we have kids and then we raise it. How did it, you know, what was behind the decision for you to keep your child, and how does that go for you?
Well, I met her father when I was 19, and so it was just a sexual relationship for that many years, and I had a boyfriend for about a year and a half, pretty much financially supported him, worked 2 jobs, he's at home, did nothing, and when I did get pregnant, I knew that if I was able to support a boyfriend, I can support a child. Mm-hmm. I didn't think there was no consideration of adoption on my part. That just
isn't something you went.
No, you don't. I didn't go into it keeping my child thinking, oh, I'm going to have somebody else raise him like my mother. Mm-hmm. I was taking responsibility for my actions mm-hmm. and what I had done, and I wasn't going to give her up or do anything else. So it's been good.
And how old is your daughter now?
She's eight.
And so have you chosen to remain single over those 8 years, or have you just not, like?
Yes and no.
Okay.
To a point. I mean, I don't want to get married.
Right.
I'm afraid. It scares me to death.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have something to prove with raising my daughter and being successful at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid if I were to get married, if it were to end in divorce, somebody would be like, you failed.
Yeah.
And I can't do that. I don't know.
So is that a fear with all of you, is getting remarried and feeling like that second marriage, if that fails, then you are a failure? I mean, is that a fear that you have?
Sure. Absolutely. Not necessarily to me, but I don't want to get remarried.
At all? Is it? Talk about the feelings about getting remarried. Let's go around there. I mean, you kind of shared where you're at. Do you want to get remarried? Do you see it's something you could do?
You know, for a while there, I just thought, gosh, I'm really happy. I'm content with where I am. I'm raising my kids. I'm working hard. Why would I want someone to come into this telling me how to squeeze my toothpaste in the morning, you know, honestly? And I thought, gosh, I've just created these habits and this lifestyle, and I'm happy being single. And then all of a sudden, I kind of looked at my family unit and thought, you know, this really, in my beliefs, this isn't what God created families to be. Mm-hmm. And I do need to feel a sense of belonging and a sense of support with someone. So there was a while there where I wasn't looking to get married. And now it would be nice. It would be nice to have a whole family unit. It'd be nice to have a man in the house, to have a priesthood in the home. It'd mm-hmm. be nice to have all those things back. But I'm going to be very, very careful the next time.
And I think that's the big thing for me, is just completely being scared, because you hear so many second marriages, a lot of abuse that goes on from either the husband that was brought in or the wife to the children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scared of introducing something like that into my family. And the thought of meshing kids and meshing different parenting styles and doing all that scares me so much that I think I'll just do it by myself and not worry about it. But I do worry about, I miss having a priesthood holder in the home.
Mm-hmm.
I miss having that intact family unit. And I know my boys really miss having a strong male role model. And so I guess I go back and forth, but there's a lot that scares me that doesn't have anything to do with divorce, but just bringing in another whole set of issues.
Mm-hmm.
I go back and forth depending on my mood for the day. You know, part of me thinks I've done it this long. 8 years is a long time. I had an infant when he left. I've raised my baby from an infant, and she will be 8 years old this in a couple months. It's really, I keep thinking, well, you know what? If I can put myself through nursing school and raise four children and work full time all at the same time, I don't need anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, the same feelings of loneliness and, you know, when the kids are struggling and you just need that extra person to be able to bounce off of and say, you know what, it's your turn to deal with the tantrum in the other room because I'm done. Mm-hmm. I miss having somebody, you know, it's nice to have somebody care about you that you can just come home and put your arms around you and say, you know, tell me about your day. How was your day? What went well today? What went poorly today? And, you know, to have that safe place to land. So, you know, some days I feel really strong and really resolved to, I don't need anybody, I can do this myself, which I can. I know that I can because I have. But, you know, and my situation is more just, you know, I don't know if, I'm guessing you guys have run into some of the same issues. The quality of men out there our age that are single is really an
issue.
How old
are you each?
I'm 35.
37.
34.
31.
Right, so.
Okay. So do you attend like a mid-singles ward, or do you attend your family wards because you have your kids?
That is an issue that I'm glad you brought up, because there is not a singles ward where you can bring your children. There is not.
Yeah, it's either mid-singles ward and you don't come with kids, or right. You go to your family ward.
Right. Mm-hmm. So whereas my ex-husband does not take the children ever, I never had the opportunity unless I leave them home alone mm-hmm. to go. And that's not fair to me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to leave my children on a Sunday when we're supposed to be spending time together.
I was going to say, it seems like a complete conflict of interest, because Sundays you're supposed to be with your family.
Right.
But in order to go to a mid-singles ward and meet people who are technically worthy, you have to leave your kids in order to do it. Or to go to firesides or things like that. It's not, you can't do it with children.
So do you guys date then?
Yeah.
How do you do it? I mean, you, Jen, especially, said, I don't want to. I'm proven I'm doing this myself. So what would be the point of dating if you guys all kind of, you know, it's very admirable. My mom raised five of us kids, was single for several years. My wife was single for 11 years before, we got married, and we have one son who just turned 14 this last Saturday. There's certainly that issue. But, what's the point then? If you're like, I'm going to do this by myself, but maybe I'm interested in going out with you. I mean, how do you resolve that?
It's hard. I mean, my daughter, never met her father, and so she wants a dad. Mm-hmm. And so, I can give her all the love, all the toys, all the whatever, but giving her father is something that I haven't been able to give her. Right. And that hurts. So, I mean, it is nice to go out and still keep the faith that you can find somebody. But it's definitely hard, because either they're too old, never been married, don't really want to have kids, or they're younger than you and they're okay with the kid idea, but not really a fan.
Sure.
So it's hard to find that happy medium.
Well, and men who haven't had children don't understand what that entails.
Correct.
And the thing that I've found is the guys that I have dated who don't have children don't understand that my time has to be divided, that they don't get my undivided attention, that I can't drop everything when they want to right now just to go.
Or when you say my kid comes first, it comes first. Sorry.
Right. Right. I've dated a little bit. Again, more just a struggle with the quality of men that I find. I'm very, very selective this time around. I'm not going to allow this to happen again if I have any control over, And one of the things that I've noticed is that some of my friends go through relationships rather quickly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why can't I? I haven't had a boyfriend in years. Why can't I? And a friend pointed out to me, well, because you're not willing to put up with all the crap that they give you in order to do that. So, you know what? If you're treating me poorly, you're wasting my time. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So,
that's why they only last like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And you're like, okay. And then you're like, I'm not doing this again.
Exactly. And for me, I took the past year off dating. I just, the past calendar year, I focused on me and my kids, and it was the best year I've ever had. Started, I guess, jumping back into the dating scene in January. But the Utah dating scene is so, so hard. There are so many beautiful single women, and these boys know that, well, if you're not as pretty, I can go find someone else.
Yeah.
And so there isn't a good sense of commitment. There isn't a good sense of anything. And I think just because we have a lot of beautiful women in Utah,
mm-hmm.
and the pool is good for the guys.
You hear that, single guys? Wow. There's a lot of beautiful women here. I'm surrounded by them here at this table.
I have to say, I don't think the ratios are fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I'm going to get slammed for saying this.
Sure.
But the ratios of quality, attractive, single, good priesthood-holding men in Utah is so, so low compared to the quality women that are attractive. You know, for the most part, they're, you know, active, or I would say semi-active. Ratios are way, way off.
They are.
There are men like that exist that you mentioned?
Wait, where?
So my mom was single when she was, you know, in her mid-30s. And I remember her dating. And she was, like you guys, she was super hot mom. You know, so she was a hot commodity. Guys like to date her. But she was really selective about who she brought home to meet us. How do you make that decision as to when to introduce your children to the men that you date?
For the most part, I don't. But I haven't.
They don't get to meet the kids?
And not unless, you know, I don't have like a set number, but until they've stuck around for a little while and I feel comfortable with them, will I even introduce them?
Okay.
But it's my son gives me dating tips all the time, though.
Like what?
My 12-year-old. Last time I was heading to somewhere and he said, he goes, Mom, you need to go out to the club and you need to go dancing. Yeah. He's 12. And he said, find a good looking guy. And he said, make sure he has good pecs. But if he has a tight shirt on and he has good pecs, then he's probably gay. So it needs to be a little bit loose, but good pecs. And then go and talk to him.
Nice.
Oh, I love it.
It's fantastic funny. Advice from a 12-year-old boy.
Exactly.
So what about the rest of you? Introducing a guy to the kids. How's that go? Not do it?
You know what? I've done both sides where, you know, there was actually one time I went out with a guy and neither of us could find a babysitter. We kept trying to schedule a date, kept trying. And he says, you know what? Just bag it. He said, you know, this is, I think it was our first or second date. And he said, let's just get the kids together. I'll barbecue. We'll have the kids jump on the trampoline. It was one of the funnest dates I've ever been on.
That is fun. Then you have the casual.
It is. And it was really cool. So I'm not totally against to having my kids meet anybody. I don't want my kids to get attached to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But there's a big difference between introducing your kids to someone and letting them get attached.
Right. Definitely.
If you let them get attached and you break up, it's a horrible situation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're talking about quality guys, then. You say there's not enough quality guys. But here's the deal. I know plenty of guys. In fact, most of my friends are still single guys. They're guys that have never had kids before, mm-hmm. so they kind of fall into that group. But they're guys who are like, yeah, you know, if I met the right one, that kids would be okay. Maybe they just say that. I know that was certainly my thought when I met my wife and found out she had a kid. It was a very conscious decision to be like, all right. Is this going to be something that I can do? Because, you know, I was very much the bachelor lifestyle, living in a condo that was my grandma's, that, you know, I paid $100 a month in rent for and had no responsibilities as far as that goes. But that's one of the hardest things that's been about our marriage is, like you say, is that, you know, sometimes the attention has to be on him. And I'm someone who craves a lot of attention anyway. So
you're
it's
a
like,
little bit
totally, yeah. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? And it's been a huge learning experience for that. So kind of backtracking, quality guys. What are these quality guys that we're talking about? These mythical quality guys. What are the characteristics? Let's go around.
They have to have a job. They can't live at home with their parents.
That's why you had all those strikes against
right?
you.
Right? It was my grandma's house.
Other than that, honesty is a big thing, too.
So that's it, huh? Just a job?
My list is not that long, Richie, but yet it's still not being met.
I like that Richie is actually writing these down
for
your friends.
Yeah.
So all of these friends that you're talking about, they're coming in later.
Yeah.
What else? What other characteristics?
That's how this thing will end.
Okay.
And now, meet.
There you go. He's for you, Janae.
You know, respect is a huge issue. Honesty is a huge issue for me. I dated a guy that I really, really liked, and I did introduce him to my children. And, you know, it turns out that he was involved in another relationship for more than half of the 9 months that we were dating. Hmm. And, you know, just being open and honest with me, even if it's not something that I necessarily want to hear, that is a huge issue for me personally. You know, of course, I want him to have a respectable job and, you know, but just being a decent person, somebody that's not going to, you know, somebody that is going to be okay with me taking care of my kids, and somebody who is going to want to include them in things, somebody who's going to, you know, just enjoy that we're a family and that we all come together. And so just to add how the introducing guys to my dating world has worked, I didn't for a long time introduce my kids to men. And now the problem that I'm having is when I do, they kind of flip out a little bit. My 11-year-old gets really, really anxious. Every guy that I go out with, she flips out. You can't go on a date with him. You're going to marry him. Stepdads are mean. And she's got all these preconceived notions about what that's going to entail. And even if I go on a date, she gets all flipped out and really stressed out. So I don't think that's necessarily the right answer. I think, you know, having guy friends around has helped to realize that every guy that I talk to is not, number one, a date, and number two, going to be stepdad. So it's a really tough balancing act.
Yeah.
For me, respect is huge. I mean, there was a lack of respect in my first marriage, and so respect is huge. And just someone who adores me and that I can adore him, right? Because I want that mutual attraction, that mutual love. And if we have that, I feel like if we have that respect and that mutual love, that, you know, we're going to be able to work through the kid attention thing. And I mean, I dated one guy who he would come over because he worked a graveyard shift, and he'd come over late. And one night I was so frazzled, and he's like, okay, you go to bed. And he read stories to my kids and put them to bed. Mm-hmm. To me, that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's endearing and beautiful, and that's what I would like.
Well, I have my must-haves list. So I'm a realtor, I'm a buyer's agent mostly. And I tell my buyers to write down their 5 must-haves, because you take a buyer out and they've got a million different things they want.
Oh, it's got to be a 3-car garage.
Oh, yeah. And it's got to have this much sod in the yard and this many trees. I mean, it can be really big. So I always tell my buyers, you know what, let's whittle your list down to 5. What are your 5 must-haves?
What are they? What are your
5
must-haves?
Yeah, so my 5 must-haves, number one, honesty.
Okay.
If you do not have honesty in your marriage, you have nothing. Mm-hmm. That's what I got to deal with. Number two, has to be a good daddy. If he is a daddy, being a good daddy, I think, is one of the sexiest qualities in a man.
Definitely.
Do we have to say daddy, though? Can we just say dad?
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care how much money you make a year. If you're a good dad, that is one of the hottest qualities.
Huge.
Yeah. Number three, I don't need Peter Priesthood, but I definitely want a worthy man. Mm-hmm. A worthy man who has the same goals that I do. Yeah. And speaking of goals, number four, that's going to be number four. We've got to be on the same page together. We have to have the same goals. We've got to be aligned
like
in that. Number one, temple marriage. Uh-huh. We've got to be going down that road. Number two, career-wise, where do you want to be? How important is working to you versus family time? How important is family to you? How important are... You know, what is your week like? How do you like to spend your days? Where do you want to be when we retire? Where do we want to live? You know, those type of things. Really important to discuss.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then your number five. Did we get to your number five?
I'm sorry. He's got to be attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, you need to have that physical attraction.
You do.
All right. So you brought up something interesting, and we're going to get up to this in the third block, talking about getting sealed again in the temple.
Right.
Because a couple of you guys have been married in the temple. We'll talk about that. Coming up here in the third block.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500. To book your shoot today.
It is the third block of the Cultural Hall. Let's just get right to it, because we're going to run out of time. I've got too many questions, and I want to get right to it. I've already taken too long now saying that I'm going to get to it.
We wrap it up.
So why don't I just get to it? Okay, you've been sealed in the temple, right?
Right.
Now you have to have permission from your ex-husband to be able to get married again. Go.
What about it?
Yeah.
Does it bother you? Does it bother me that I have to get to get permission from him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It really does.
How do you deal with it?
You know what? Thank goodness. I think mine would be pretty cool about it, and he would write the letter. But, I've never been asked that. How do I feel about that? I feel like it's our choice, and I would absolutely give him the go-ahead to
Well, he doesn't need it.
I know he doesn't.
Does that bother you that he doesn't need it and you do?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
And you're all nodding your heads. Yes.
Yeah, everyone. Uh-huh. Yeah. Girl power.
I'm not a feminist, but yeah, it does bother me.
All right.
Yeah, it bothers me. You know, my ex is already remarried. He remarried really fast after our divorce.
Did he get sealed in the temple?
No. Okay. He didn't. But, I mean, really fast. Like 6 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's not like really fast, like 6 months. We're talking like in the same calendar week.
The ink hadn't dried yet. 6 days after it was finalized, he was at the courthouse.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So, but yeah, I don't like that. I've gone to my bishop and said, can I have my can I have it absolved? I don't want to be sealed to him. I don't want that. And the fact that I can't unless I'm getting married in the temple again, that bothers me.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that's not something I had given a lot of thought to, actually, that I need his permission. And now that you've brought it up, you know, I knew that the process but I didn't realize that he had to give permission. I'm curious because we haven't spoken in almost a year. So mm-hmm. I don't know what would happen. I don't know what he would do, but it does bother me because, you know, he's not in a happy place and he doesn't like to see me progress. When I started nursing school.
Oh, you'll never do it. You're wasting your time, that kind of stuff.
He quit paying his full child support. I took a pay cut in my job to be able to have the time to go to nursing school. And he decided to cut my child support because, you know, he feels threatened by anything that I do that's positive. So I don't know if that bothers me a lot that he would have to, because I don't know if he would.
Interesting thing. So right as we went into the break, and this always happens because Ashley keeps talking when the microphone is off.
I just can't help myself.
We started talking about, as we went around, everyone was like, oh, you know, I'd really like someone that's within the church, not necessarily a Peter priesthood, but, you know, has the same goals as this. But you all made the same comment about dating outside of the church. And Jen, you're actually dating someone right now who...
Correct. Is not LDS.
Correct.
But
anymore. You've recently returned to the church.
Correct.
So how does that go? How do you work that? Or how does he treat you? Or what's your thought on that? If it's going to be... If your goal is to... You know, you're attending church and the goal is to have this eternal marriage.
But it's not.
Okay.
I don't want to be married in the temple. That's nothing that I've ever saw for myself or wanted for myself. I don't think that I get along with the LDS boys because they're so structured in the way that they think and what they want. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that way. And I think that's why I don't actively pursue people within my religion, our religion, well. But the guy that I'm...
Does that cause conflict, though? Because I would think in some ways that... And not necessarily, we don't have the market on no premarital sex or things like that. But I mean, does that cause issues where it's like, listen, I'm going back to church and I like this and here's my values, but kind of seeking out outside of that? Does that cause any
problem? No. I mean, the person that I'm dating now, he was a convert. He got married in the temple because that's what she wanted. Mm-hmm. They got divorced. He had his name removed. And I said, is this going to be a problem? This is where I'm at in my life. I'm going back to church. I'm not asking you to come with me. I'm not asking you to get baptized again, but I'm just letting you know. And he said, I don't have a problem with it, because if I were to say that I had a problem with it, then that means that I have a problem with my children being baptized and going to church. And that's, I don't have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, you know, you make me happy at home and let me go to church on Sunday and you can do whatever you want. You know, it's my thing. Support me in it, and I'll support you in whatever you do.
Mm-hmm. What about the rest of you? You all agreed, hey, yeah, maybe it's easier to go outside the church.
And you even said sometimes they treat you better.
They do.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah, what? How? Yeah. Come on.
Well, okay, so you go out with an LDS boy, and he says, come here, let's fool around for a little bit. And you're like, wait, I'm Mormon. I'm going to say no.
Cuddle.
But it's okay. It's okay because we're both LDS. Uh-huh. It's okay because of this, and there doesn't seem to be as much door opening. There doesn't seem to be as much respect.
You're talking literal physical chivalry, that kind of stuff?
Yes, okay. But also sexual
There's
stuff.
Not an effort put There's, into it.
There so really you is no effort.
Are saying so. That the guys who are not LDS are generally more respectful when it comes to your physical boundaries?
Of yes. course, definitely.
Really?
Absolutely. You go out and you say, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. They say, okay, that's fine. I have had more respect from non-LDS guys as far as my boundaries go than I have from LDS guys.
Why do you
LDS
think that is?
LDS guys push it and push it and push it.
Because they want the sex. They haven't had the sex and they want it.
Repression, you think it's because?
I do.
Yeah.
And they're like, you've had sex. You've already had sex.
Exactly. You have a kid. You're going to get it.
So you've obviously had sex.
Right, it doesn't matter. You're good.
Yeah.
You're divorced. It's all good.
That's
Let's just go at it.
Interesting. I've never thought of it about that.
Is there an approach that you guys are damaged?
No.
You mean from the guys?
Yeah.
What you're saying?
Well, like you have
baggage damaged.
You already have had sex, so.
Well, I think that's part of it, but I'm also saying, well, you're divorced. What did you do?
Oh, that comes off every, you know, especially with LDS guys.
Yep.
Why are you divorced? What happened in your marriage? First date. That'll
Absolutely.
Come out.
Really?
Yeah. First and then date. Yeah. Every first date.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty and bold for a first date.
Yeah. Non-LDS guys, it doesn't come up until much later in my experience.
Do you find that, too, with not being divorced, but with just being a single mom? Do you find that kind of line of questioning, too, Jen?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess kind of in a particular situation, do you get where people are like, oh, well, she must be easy if she's never been married?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Or she's just looking for a father for her child. Or, you know, I don't know. It's. How do I be nice?
Well,
you don't have to be nice. Just say it.
Yeah.
But non-Mormon boys are a lot nicer. They actually
they
put in the effort.
Mm-hmm.
They're honest.
They're respectful.
Yes. And they're respectful of your time with your child,
mm-hmm.
their time with you, your space, your... They just want to come in and be with you.
No,
they don't...
Sorry to cut you off. I don't mean to be the devil's advocate, but are we generalizing a little bit as far as like non-LDS guys and LDS guys? Or is this really just... How it is because I know some LDS single guys are going to be listening. They're like, wait a minute, I'm
That's not
like
me. I don't
that.
Do that.
This is a huge generalization.
Okay, well, I'm in a couple different LDS dating sites, Facebook groups,
mm-hmm.
and it is the general consensus among almost every woman in there that they're just the LDS guys are not as nice. And I think it's more of a cultural thing. Because I've also lived in Vermont, I've lived in Seattle, and it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, so we're saying specifically Utah.
In Utah, yes.
But so the other thing that I have with that too is, you know, you've got kind of the two-faced Mormon guy that's trying to get in your pants, but yet going to church on Sunday and taking
mm-hmm.
the sacrament right. and, you know, pretending that everything's okay. So it goes back to the trust and the honesty mm-hmm. thing. You know, they feel like they have to hide their sexuality and other things. And so it comes out in more of a sneaky way. You know, let's cuddle and watch a movie. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden his hand's trying to go up your shirt.
Yeah, but
and
on the other side, if I was like, hey, Janae, I'd like to go out and stick my hands up your shirt. you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just being honest. I open the door for you. I'm being chivalrous. I'd like to put my hands up your shirt. I can't imagine that you'd be like,
well,
you know,
okay.
Thank you for your honesty.
I've had a guy say that.
I would.
I've had a guy say that in the very beginning. Really, I just want to see them and I want to suck on them.
Wow.
And I went, okay, well, good to know. Let's
You're
move
like,
on.
Ira, I appreciate your honesty.
I know.
Saturday at 2 or? I'm kidding.
But then you get the other guys. Starting dating again. Guys like, hey, do you want to come over and watch a movie? I stupidly thought that meant we're going to go
You're gonna
and
actually watch a movie.
No,
right.
that
yeah,
is that
kind of a code.
That
means.
Is the lingo for come over, get tired, and let me
and
take advantage of you.
Let's do the NICMO is Utah term.
Right.
You know, let's
stands
just make
for non-committal makeout.
Make
yeah.
Right. And that's what you want to come watch a movie means. And I didn't know that in the beginning. I thought, really, we watch a movie.
So really, it is kind of a generalization, but these are our experiences
right.
as well. You
and
know,
we're talking to and four women here. Who
right.
But I've only dated maybe two non-LDS guys. They were both really nice. I just didn't date them any further than that because, for me, I do want that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going outside of the religion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
how does the church teach you or treat you?
Oh, geez, that's a whole nother ball of wax.
Let's talk about it.
I mean, the hardest thing for me is, you know, I had friends. We had a group of friends that always got together. We did our couple things. And then once I got divorced, you know, I'm not invited to the couple things anymore. They're still doing it. They waved to me from the party house.
Hey, we're at the party house.
But the hardest part was, you know, trying to get a home teacher. You say, okay, I have a problem with this. Well, you can no longer have the elders. You now have the high priest quorum. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to have an old man climb up onto my roof and help move the leaves from my rain gutter because right. I'm scared to death of ladders.
I know you just had hip surgery, brother, brother
so
George.
You send the very old ones that, and I think single women have more needs of a physical nature. Of
absolutely.
Lifting things, you know, things that take some strength. And that was really weird for me.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I have the picture-perfect ward in Draper. Absolutely picture-perfect. Not only before I even went to the ward for the first time, they helped me move in. I had cookies brought to my door. I had people coming to meet me. I've had more people stop at my house than any other place I've lived.
But were you divorced in that ward?
No, I mean, I came as a divorced mom.
Right.
Yeah, into the
so
ward.
So you weren't married first and then got divorced?
No,
and then,
no.
Okay.
No, but they have been amazing. I mean, people have come over and hung Christmas lights in my house. They fix things on my house. They repeatedly come. I mean, they treat me like gold when I'm in the ward, and I love it.
I think it's an interesting dynamic that you set up, though, because I think it's got to be awkward a little bit for people in the ward.
Because they were friends with your ex-husband.
Right, exactly. You know, we had a friendship there. We had camaraderie. Going to church as a single mom is the single loneliest thing ever.
Exactly.
It is the hardest place to go to on Sundays.
Janae, what about it?
Every lesson is about family and about making your family stronger and about, you know, the temple and the marriage and what husbands should be doing to take care of their wives. And not only did we not have that in our marriages, well, at least me, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but, you know, to go and be constantly reminded of what you don't have and of what you should have, but, you know, whatever
happened
and whatever didn't happen, you didn't try hard enough,
right? Yeah. And okay. It's your fault.
Is there that
for not
stigma?
Absolutely.
You didn't mm-hmm. stick around hard
absolutely
enough?
You know, and one of the things that I've run into in my ward, it's not the ward that I was in when I was divorced, but that had its own huge issues because fingers were pointed at me.
Sure.
You know,
well, in everyone's mind there has to be a blame. There has to
sure,
be
right.
a
fault
definitely.
And it's
going to
go
person.
Either way,
right? And so there was a lot of blame. I no longer live in that ward, but I'm in one of the newlywed and nearly dead wards. So,
yeah,
you know,
you're
a
like
lot
right
of
right there in the middle.
Right. I've got the only, you know, like half of the youth are in my family.
So, but I want to hear your perspective, Jen, because you were not married. And so, and you were inactive for a long time. So coming in as a single mom who has never been married, do you get treated differently?
No. I mean, I've always allowed my daughter to go to church. Mm-hmm. My mom would take her to church when, you know, she was an infant, and I grew up in that ward, and everybody just kind of accepted her and didn't say anything negative to my mother about it. Mm-hmm. Everybody, and I think that's because the way that my mother handled the situation is,
how was that?
Very well, and accepting and loving. And, you know, people make mistakes, but you got to work with what you're given. And she didn't treat her any differently or the situation. And so then I think that's why people didn't treat my child differently. And then when we moved a year ago and then I started going back to church, everybody's been really great. I mean, I've had several people come up to me and say, you know, I respect you and I admire what you're doing, coming here every Sunday by yourself, mm-hmm. doing it. And you've never missed a week, and I don't know how you do it, and I just admire you a lot for that. I'm like, oh, thanks.
What is it that keeps you going? Because it seems to me that it would be easier to just be like, you know what? I trusted the Lord that this was going to work out. It didn't work out. Middle finger to the sky. I'm done. I'm going to do whatever I want. You know, what helps you keep going?
You know, for me, what I've come to learn is that no matter what, no matter how lonely I feel, no matter how sorry I feel for myself, two things in life that I have to live by. Number one, no excuses. If you know what's right, if you have that belief, then no excuses. Don't let any excuse get in the way. Number two is
when you have those lonely times, when you have those pity parties, when you're alone in your house and your kids are with your ex, or when you're alone and you are at your breaking point and wondering if there's going to be a 24-hour notice on your front doorstep for the heat being turned off, you realize that your Heavenly Father is as close as you make him. And you form this bond with your Heavenly Father that even if there was no one else in the world around you to support you, you know he's there and he will be as close as you make him. That's what I find.
And I agree. You reach the lowest of low. I mean, divorce is horrible. It's not a pleasant thing. And it's only through finding strength in yourself that God gives you that can help you carry on. And you can't deny that. And you keep going because I keep going because I live it. I love it. I want my kids in the church. There's so many wonderful things to it. And even though I might feel lonely, maybe that's my issue. You know, I go because it's good and I like it.
See, that is one thing. I'm glad that you guys are in that place. I'm not quite there yet. You know, I've had my ups and my downs and moments of real strength. The trials that I've been through in the last year and a half, 2 years, have been so devastating that I'm not there.
So where are you?
I'm feeling a little bit like just absolutely completely overwhelmed, and it's my children that keep me going. Mm-hmm. It's not that, you know, I mean, I do this because I know that it's important. I know that it is valuable. I know, you know, I still have a testimony of the gospel. I know that these things are right, and I know that they are values I want instilled in my children, and they are my strength right now. And that may not be fair to do to them, but you know, when I don't have it in me and I don't feel that closeness to the Lord and I don't feel like I have to be in this place because, you know, because if it were my choice right now, I'd be like, yeah, have fun at Dad's. I'm going to bed. Yeah. But yeah. Because I'm so overwhelmed. And so, you know, I'm a little bit in the place where can we just be done now? You know, I'm done with the trials. I can't handle anymore. Every time I keep thinking it can't get worse, something else happened. Sure. So I've quit thinking it can't get worse. I just refuse to let myself think that.
Yeah. Like, it could be worse. Yeah. It's coming.
Yeah. Which one's next? Let's just throw a little more on Shanae right now. So really, in these moments right now, the strength is in my children. Because I know that it's important to instill these values in them.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
I don't think I would have kept going to church if the word would have treated me differently. Mm. And it was funny because the first week I went to that word, the lights in the building were off. Like, they had a power outage or something. So it was really awesome sitting in sacrament in the back in the dark. No one knew that you were there. So it was all right. Yeah. But, you know, I go because I like the way it makes me feel. I feel better. I don't necessarily agree with things. I have a really hard time with certain aspects of it. And, you know, there's been some Sundays that I come home crying. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to stop going or, you know, become inactive again. This is what I feel is the right thing to do at this point in my life. And, you know, until something else happens, this is what I'm going to do.
There are probably and hopefully a lot of single moms that are listening to this episode. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give them?
Oh, great question. You know what? This is what I would give them.
Or let me broaden it to women who may be in marriages. I mean, this is for the three of you, obviously. Mm-hmm. But feel free to throw in women who are in relationships that, you know, like you guys stated, they should get out of. Mm-hmm. They feel like that's kind of done. So just advice.
Okay. So advice for a married woman, a married mom, maybe particularly, who's going through this, I would suggest, like I did, give it a lot of time. Give it a lot of thought. And when you've given it enough thought, give it some more thought. And then, you know, realize that it's like, I always compare it to going off the high dive when I was little. You walk up each rung on that ladder, and then you walk out to the very end of the board, and you look over the water, and you decide, if you jump in, there's no going back. Mm-hmm. And I finally had jumped off the end of that diving board, and it was hard swimming in that water for a while. And you'll go through phases, and you will do a lot of soul searching. You will have the hardest times in your life that will bring you to your knees. But that being said,
you will also grow more than anything. You will come to realize who you truly are and really what you're made of. So you've just, if you're single now, hang in there. It will get better.
You know, I think my advice to be would be that to women is that you do have a voice. And there are things that can be wrong in your marriage. And, you know, to seek out advice from counselors or whoever else, but don't just keep it hidden because you feel like that's the Mormon norm, mm-hmm. that you just persevere and you just push through it, because there are a lot of things that happen that aren't okay.
Mm-hmm. There are some things that can be worked through. We're right. not saying right. it's not like divorce sure. is the way, single woman power.
Right. Divorce is horrible. It's absolutely horrible. But there are times when it's necessary. And I wish somebody would have told me that no, what you're going through, that's not normal. And that's mm-hmm. not okay.
Right.
And so I would like to see more women find a voice and be able to talk to each other rather than just the blanket statements. I'm so thankful for my family. I'm so thankful for the trials that I have. I'm so thankful for, well, you know what? Sometimes you got to say, this really sucks and I don't like it. And is this normal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so find your voice, ladies, and figure out what's most important and what's working and what isn't, and try and fix it, because divorce is horrible.
Absolutely, absolutely. To build upon what Claudine was saying, I would say love yourself. Respect yes. yourself mm-hmm. enough to know that, you know, again, going along with Claudine, that this isn't okay and that this has got to be fixed. I begged my ex-husband for years and years and years to go to counseling with me. You know, if that's what it takes to save your marriage, go to counseling. Do the things that they encourage you to do. You don't want to leave a marriage because you're just unhappy. Because I promise you, the single and everything, there's nothing better on the other side here, ladies.
But the thing is that the unhappiness will continue to follow you until you have the peace inside. If you're leaving a marriage because you're unhappy, that unhappiness will still be there.
Right. Yeah.
There's
right.
got to be more than just, oh, I'm kind of, this kind of sucks.
He's not giving me enough attention.
Exactly. Boo-hoo.
Right.
Because
so
that'll follow you.
Right. Do everything within your power to save your marriage. But, you know, even if your marriage, even if you knew the minute that you got married that you were supposed to be together, you know, we all have our agency. We all can choose to not live our lives in accordance with the gospel and choose to make that marriage null and void. And so just, you know, do everything within your power. And if it's not working, know when it's time to get out. And, you know, you can use prayer for that. You can, you know, rely on the Lord to know what's best for you. Because if it's not getting better, you know, maybe the divorce is the answer to help you be a stronger, healthier person.
But it has to be individualized.
It does. And I was going to jump in and say, yeah. you know, talk to your friends, talk to your family. But ultimately, it is your choice.
Exactly.
And don't let other people decide for you.
Exactly. Right. I fasted and went to the temple for like 6 months trying to figure this out. And I finally told my dad, I have an answer and I need to get a divorce. And he said to me, the Lord wouldn't tell anybody to get a divorce. Mm. That can't be your answer.
Wow.
You know, just having that thump back down, you know, I finally, for years, hoping to have hope. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what I need to do and I can act on it. And then having that crushed again because I'm beaten down so much that I can't even rebound from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just have to. You get out, you make the decision on your own.
Exactly.
It's your
very
own
personal.
It is very personal.
Jen, what advice do you give?
You have to take one day at a time, especially with kids. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't let it overwhelm you or it's just going to beat you up. And so it's, and sometimes that's a hard thing for me to realize, but you do. You just take one day at a time and, you know, people are like, I don't know how you're going to do it. It's really hard being a single mom. It's only as hard as you make it. You know, if you just say, you know, we're going to roll with the punches. Today's a good day. Today's a, you know, tomorrow's a bad day. Whatever, you know. And you just got to go with it.
You've got to laugh.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You have to have fun.
So much humor. Yep.
And, you know, be silly with your kids. And,
definitely.
You know, let them see you cry, but also have those good memories where they're like, hey, mom did this with me. We went and did this. My mom's so awesome, yeah. you know, but my mom's human. She can cry. You know, I don't know how many times where my daughter's caught me crying and she'll come over and give me a hug. And it's like, it's okay, mom. It's really okay.
yeah.
You know, and that's nice. But
yeah. And my kids tell me, mom, you're so weird. And I said, I know, but isn't it great?
Yeah.
You go, yeah, you'd be boring if you weren't. You know, you got to have laughs.
Well, and I just want to just say, for me, I had a single mom, and I know Richie had a single mom, and we actually
married a single mom.
Married a single mom. Guy, way to go, Richie. Yeah.
Yeah. You're so courageous.
But I know we also had some feedback on Facebook.
Yeah. There you go.
Feedback on Facebook, and I'm just going to read actually what this Jessie Ambrinkerhoff-Rael said. She said, "You totally rock. My mother was a single LDS mom, toughest lady I know." And I just want to echo that and just say single moms are amazing. I don't know how my mom did it, but she did, and she's my best friend, and she was such a great example to me, and I know that you guys are all good examples to your kids. And any single moms out there, just keep pushing on and doing what you're doing, because you're great examples to all of us. So thank you.
Thank you.
I got one more question for all of you guys before you go. What is your favorite part of your faith? And it, we can go in any order. What your favorite part of your faith is, and interpret that however you'd like. What is your favorite part of your faith?
Wow, that's...
Anybody?
I don't. I think for me, right off the bat, because I'm a huge music person, one of my favorite parts of my faith is music, and that we celebrate our testimonies and our voice through music. And I love the music that we have. And, you know, people get together, you go to girls' camp, you sing, you go to a sacrament meeting, you sing. I love the music, and I love that we can share our testimonies and our feelings and stuff through music.
Okay.
Okay, I have to say, one great thing I think about our religion is that we are all brothers and sisters. I mean, literally, we are all brothers and sisters. So if we get into a ward, it should be a ward family. That's why I have such a great warden Draper, because it's a ward family. You watch out for each other. You have each other's backs. You lift each other up. So I think the favorite part of my faith is knowing that we are all in this together, and we don't have a preacher that sits up and, you know, tells everybody how to live their life and what to do. It's so involved, and we have people within our church that teach the lessons, and people that share things in the lessons. And it's just, to me, I think it's the family unit and the sense of the fact that we are all brothers and sisters helping each other out.
To kind of go along with that a little bit, but in a little bit different direction, I like the social things that we're taught in our wards. You know, when our children are small, we put them up on the pulpit to give talks and do lessons and different things that, you know, it's always been a part of my life. I've been giving talks since I could speak, you know, because you do that in primary and all of these things. And it's a very fun thing. And they teach you about friendships and, you know, that your little young women's group, they're your friends. And, you know, you have these friends that you go to church with, and then you go to school and they're there as well. I like the sense of community that it brings, and the way it helps us, you know, be more involved in the things that we do and reach out to others.
Yeah, and the friendships. You know, everybody's there. I like that in crisis they're there, and in good times they're there. And
yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, in our ward, we've had 5 people die since December.
Oh, jeez.
And we're in one of those, you know, everybody's dying or, you know, but everybody, they don't groan and say, oh, another funeral we have to do food for or whatever. You just... they do it, and they're happy about it, and they're happy to help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what is nice.
It's a huge sense of service.
It is.
That's the service portion of the religion is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really neat. It's key. It's, yeah, you can serve others.
Well, thank you very much, ladies, for being here with us. Hopefully it's helped people out. I think it's been awesome just to hear you guys talk, mm-hmm. and be able to support each other and to hear that the stories are there. So Mormon men, pick it up, all right?
Yeah, yeah,
step
yeah.
up the game, guys.
Step up to the plate.
Don't worry. We'll have single men, single fathers on here, and I'm sure that we'll have some interesting stories from them.
Oh, that'd
that'll
be great.
That'll be a future mm-hmm. episode of the Cultural Hall. We hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body.
And when the time comes, you will travel home safely.
And for those who were not able to listen to this podcast this week, that they'll be healthy enough to be able to listen to this podcast next week. In the meantime, we will be saving a seat for you
on the back row of the Cultural Hall.